Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. Stay with us all the way through our show. And, of course, again, I want to remind you that we are so grateful that you've tuned in here. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. If you have a story, you have a business, and you want to share it here on The Kim Pagano Show, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, I always start our show with something uplifting, and today's is the man who says it cannot be done should not interrupt the man doing it. And really, you know, there's anything that we put our mind to, we can get done. So I'm excited to talk with you. I want to remind you to download our podcast, and of course, that is The Kim Pagano Show on all platforms, and of course, follow us through social. I'd love to connect with you there. All right. Well, we have our first guest, and he's been on my show a couple times, but I love to bring him back. And let's welcome Dr. Michael Greger.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And, of course, it is my privilege and my honor to invite our first guest on. And, of course, that is Dr. Michael Greger. And, of course, he is New York Times best-selling author of How Not to Die and How Not to Diet. And really, How Not to Age. This, I have his book in front of me, and I'm so intrigued by this. And I thought, what a perfect interview for the beginning of the year. So let's bring on Dr. Michael Greger. Are you there?
I am here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It is my pleasure. And a little bit, I'm so excited. I have to get you on. If we could get you on every quarter so we could keep up with what we're doing here, it would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I would be honored. Let's do it.
Let's do it. That is amazing. So first of all, let's start at the very beginning. How did you become interested in learning more about science? And who are you?
in terms of this book, it was really just to kind of cut through the noise and nonsense. You know, this aging book reminded me of my last book on weight loss. Both dieting and anti-aging are multi-billion-dollar industries. And with so much money in the mix, you know, anyone seeking even basic, you know, practical advice in either arena, living longer or lighter, is faced with an inscrutable barrage of pills and potions. I mean, even I, as a physician with the luxury of wading, you know, neck deep through the medical journals, it's been a challenge to tease out facts from farce. And look, if it took me 3 years to sift through all the science, I'm afraid the casual observer would just have no chance. But the good news is, it turns out we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a healthy enough diet and lifestyle.
I love that. And you put it all into this amazing book. First, I want to, like, share where can my listeners get your book, just to start off with.
Well, they can get it at their local public library or anywhere books are sold. All proceeds I get from all my books are all donated directly to charity. I just want everyone to enjoy the longest, healthiest life.
I love that. Okay. And I know we briefly talked a little bit about your grandmother, correct? Wasn't that kind of your interest and something that provoked you to learn more?
That's how it all started. I was just a kid when the doctor sent my grandma home in a wheelchair basically to die. She was diagnosed with end-stage heart disease, already had too many bypass operations, confined to a wheelchair, crushing chest pain. Her life was over at age 65. But then she heard about this guy, Nathan Pritikin, one of our early lifestyle medicine pioneers. And, you know, what happened next is actually detailed in Pritikin's biography. Talked about Frances Greger, my grandmother. Now, they wheeled her in, and she walked out. Though she was given her medical death sentence at age 65, thanks to a healthy diet, she went on to live another 31 years on this parents are at the age 96 to continue to enjoy our 6 grandkids, including me. That's why I went into medicine, why I practiced lifestyle medicine, why I started the website nutritionfacts.org, why I wrote all my books, why all the proceeds I get are donated to charity. I just want to do for everyone's family what Pritikin did for my family.
Let's just start off at the beginning. What can we do to prepare to live longer?
Oh, well, you know, based on studies of identical twins, only about 25% of the difference in lifespan between people is determined by genetics. So for what to do over the majority over which we have some control, we can look to the blue zones, these areas of exceptional longevity around the world, where they all center their diets around whole plant food. So minimizing processed foods, meat, dairy, sugar, eggs, salt, while maximizing fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes like beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils, nuts and seeds, mushrooms, herbs, and spices, basically real food that grows out of the ground. Those are our healthiest choices.
Are you referring to that on Netflix, the twins, that they took both sides? I just watched that.
There's actually two Netflix documentaries. Late last year, there was Blue Zones documentary featuring Dan Buettner and his remarkable work. But yes, just January 1st, You Are What You Eat, this new documentary.
I love that.
With an interventional twin study. Yeah. Very exciting. Very. Honored to be a part of it.
That's awesome. So let me ask you a question. Meat. Okay, I've given it up about 7 years ago because two cardiologists had said, don't ever eat meat again. They found a blockage in my heart. Do you agree with that?
In terms of lifespan, eating a burger appears to cut one's life as short as smoking 2 cigarettes. So if it doesn't occur to us to light up before and after lunch, you know, maybe we should choose the, you know, bean burrito instead. The problem is the saturated fat cholesterol, increasing our so-called LDL cholesterol, bad cholesterol, which is a leading risk factor for the number one killer of not just men, but also women in this country, heart disease.
That's incredible. So what about like the Impossible Burgers and all that? Are those a replacement or is that not good either?
Those are certainly better. So they tend to have less saturated fat, zero cholesterol, actually have a little fiber. And you don't have to worry about, you know, the antibiotics and the hormones and all the other problems that are accompany kind of conventional meat. But they are processed foods. They do have a lot of salt in them. And so you would expect, yes, your cholesterol to go down a little bit, but probably wouldn't help your blood pressure. Whereas moving to whole food sources of plant protein, like the beans, or lentil soup or hummus or something like that, then you really get the best of both worlds. You'd have the benefits of all the healthy plant foods, and without some of the kind of ultra processed products on the market. Although they're great kind of stepping stone foods. I mean, not everyone can go all, you know, kale and quinoa overnight. So, you know, having those same tastes and textures of our youth can help us transition. I just, I see these as stepping stone foods. I just don't want people to get, kind of stuck.
The
end game ideal is really these whole healthy plant foods from fields, not factories, these unprocessed plant foods.
Oh, I like that, from field, not factory. So that just says it all right there. So let me ask you, in your book, do you have recipes and do you have things that we can actually follow?
So I have, there is a cookbook coming out, the How Not to Age cookbook. It won't be out until December 2024, though. I do have two other cookbooks. It's funny that most of the recipes in the book are actually for kind of DIY skin creams and youth serums and kind of topical preparations, which can be made much cheaper than you can buy at the store.
Okay. So leading into that, we're in a very cold part of our world right now, climate-wise. Can we use a topical cream that's going to get into the skin that's going to make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the most critical topical skin cream ingredient for preventing visible signs of aging is sunscreen. About 90% of visible aging of the skin is due to sun exposure. And so by, a daily application of sunscreen during the day, is, what dermatologists agree is the most important thing to do to reduce visible signs of skin aging.
And do you share what kind you use in your book?
Oh, yeah. So we don't want to use the chemical sunscreens, which have not been generally recognized as safe by the FDA, require further testing. I recommend the two mineral sunscreens, titanium dioxide and zinc oxide.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So how can we prevent and slow down inflammation? I mean, that's a big marker of age-related disease, correct?
Absolutely. A single blood test for inflammatory markers such as C-reactive protein can predict physical and cognitive performance as well as remaining lifespan among older individuals. So plays a key role in the aging process, one of the 11 aging pathways I talk about in the book. Thankfully, excess inflammation can be extinguished through changes in diet. By decreasing our intake of pro-inflammatory food components like saturated fat and salt, and eating, going out of our way to eat foods shown to be anti-inflammatory, such as beans, berries, greens, tomato paste, oats and flaxseed, turmeric, ginger, garlic, cinnamon, and the most anti-inflammatory beverages are green tea and chamomile tea.
Okay. And you probably can't have enough, right?
You can't have too much.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, okay. And so what is the single most important component for anti-aging?
Well, certainly in terms of our, what's called the Global Burden of Disease Study, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the largest systemic analysis of risk factors in history, found the number one cause of death in these United States is the American diet, bumping tobacco to number two. Cigarettes now only kill about 500,000 Americans every year, whereas our diet kills many more. And so the five worst things they determined about our diets in terms of diminished life expectancy is one, not eating enough legumes like beans. Number two, not eating enough whole grains. Number three, not eating enough nuts. So three out of the top five things are things we're not getting enough of. And then number four, we're eating too much meat. Number five, drinking too much soda. Though, look, it doesn't matter what you eat on your birthdays, holidays, special occasions, but on a day-to-day basis, we really should try to center our diets around these whole natural foods.
Wow, I love this. I love it. And again, for anybody that is just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way here, we're talking with Dr. Michael Greger, and we're talking about how not to age, the scientific approach to getting healthier as you get older. And so you talk about your top secrets for how not to age. What would you say your top three are?
Well, you know, go through the book, talk about specific foods that can help reduce wrinkles and grow hair and shrink prostate and cool hot flashes, enhance vision, et cetera, et cetera. But the foundation is really overall diet and lifestyle. And one need not make drastic changes. Even basic common sense behaviors can mean living a decade longer or shorter, which is not smoking, not being obese, regular exercise, more fruits and vegetables. And it's never too late to stop smoking, never too late to start moving, and never too late to start eating healthier. We really do have the power here.
I love that. You just gave the power to everybody that's listening. Let me ask you, they say 10,000 steps. Is it anything that you can do to make a difference?
Yeah, anything to do. So even 4,000 steps is associated. Those who regularly get 4,000 steps a day have significantly lower all-cause mortality, meaning they live on average longer lives than those who don't. So there's nothing. 10,000 is kind of arbitrary, a cutoff, and as little as 4,000 a day beats out people not getting any.
Okay, I love it. And let me ask you, you talk about beans. Can they be out of a can, or does that just shoot that thought right out?
No, absolutely.
To be fresh.
No. Beans out of can perfectly fine, with the exception of added salt. A lot of them add salt as a flavor enhancer. So you just want to get no salt added beans and perfect. Yeah, I mean, you can make your own. And we have these, electric pressure cookers these days. And so it's actually not that hard to make your own beans. But certainly no salt beans out of a can are certainly much more convenient.
I love it. And my last thing, sugar and salt, not good, correct?
And we really should try to cut down on added sugar, cut down on added salt. What's nice with the salt is we can actually switch over from sodium salt, sodium chloride, to potassium salt, potassium chloride, and there are interventional trials showing that even people switching over to half and half sodium potassium salt have significantly lower risk of dying from heart disease. And so because high blood pressure is such a leading risk factor for vision loss and kidney failure, heart failure, for stroke, that's important to cut down either by moving to salt-free seasoning or to one of these salt substitutes like potassium chloride.
Okay, I love it. All right, I can't wait till our next interview. This has been incredible. And tell everybody where they can get your book. And I've got my book in front of me. And can we give away a couple books? Would that be possible?
I would love that. You can go to your local public library and get it, or any bookseller. It came in at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list, so it should be everywhere.
Congratulations, and thank you so much for really helping so many people get healthier and as you get older. I love that. All right. Again, if you are interested in getting this book and maybe a gift here on the Kim Pagano Show, call in right now, 805-419-0008. And Dr. Greger, thank you so much for making our show The Brighter Side of Life.
Absolutely. Looking forward to coming back on.
You got it. All right. Take care. Thank you for all your great work.
You too.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these 3 tips to help you regain order and focus. Number 1, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number 2, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number 3, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
My next guest is Dr. Heather Brown. And one of her gifts that she does is she helps people recognize the power of communication. It's actually one of the most important skills that we have. And of course, as a relationship expert, Dr. Heather Brown has worked with thousands of individuals and couples in psychotherapy. She's actually done her first TEDx and keynote speaker. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about her newest book, and that is Speaking with the Heart. Heather, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I am so honored to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Well, I think as so many people who are in the healing profession, I had a pretty challenging childhood. My mom was a paranoid schizophrenic, and she killed herself when I was 16. And the message that I kept noticing as a child was, no one knew how to help mom, and mom wasn't getting help. And so as I went through adulthood, I really realized that I wanted to be somebody who would help other people in their journey to find out how to take care of themselves and come through in the world in the best way possible. So I became very interested in my own healing and how the mind works and the different realities that we all live in and in the depth of my own therapeutic work and working in a group home. I realized that's what I wanted to do. I was doing theater, and I was trying to make it, but I was 6'1". It was hard to make it at 6'1" in theater. And one day God just like tapped me on the side of my head, and he said, instead of trying to be somebody you're not, how about you just help people be who they're supposed to be?
You just gave me chills. Wow, I love that.
That's
isn't that
brilliant.
Like our goal for our whole life is, you know, I mean, it's funny because I've always been a hair therapist, right? And which was so my passion. But then my next was being a radio host. And now I'm like, what's my next? I'm always looking for that next because, you know, we do have a lot of nexts in this, but I love that.
And so that, and then in this day and age, with what's going on with social media, with what's going on with people with, you know, imposter syndrome and all of that addiction, it just shows me we really don't know how. And I think we're not really taught in at least American culture that well to do it. I think maybe the Buddhist culture is better at it than ours, but that place of being present within yourself and having it to be okay. I think we're taught everyone has to like you and like fit in, but yet be unique. You know, don't do anything wrong, but don't stand out, but be exemplary. We're given all these mixed messages, and we're not told that it's really okay to be who you are. I remember saying to my kids a couple of years ago, I wish I had done so many things differently when you were kids. And they both said, like, Mom, you're amazing. I'm like, well, thank you, but I wish when I had picked you up, I hadn't patted you on the back and said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And they both looked at me and said, what would you have said? But I wish I would have just patted you on the back and said, get it out. Get it out. You're mad. You're hurting. I don't know why, but let's get this out together. I wish I had joined you instead of trying to take you out of your experience. And they both went, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah. But I didn't know that then.
So what we don't know, we're taught, right? We're taught by our own experiences and really what our parents have taught, what their parents were taught, and it keeps going back, right? And then as we, you know, even in marriages, and especially that you work with relationships, is you both bring different things to the marriage, correct? And then you kind of weed out what you don't need.
Right. And I think there's a place on this path that if we decide, yes, I am created from what the past has been, but what do I carry forth and what do I change for me and maybe change generationally forward as well? And then that's a beautiful place. I mean, I think we come to a place, maybe it's our 30s, maybe it's our 20s, maybe it's always where we are unlearning what we have learned and then picking up better serves us now if we choose to be that lifelong learner, which I definitely am.
I am too.
I am too. I love that. I don't think we're ever too old to learn. So I love that.
No.
So, and is that your first book?
It's my first nonfiction book. I do have three poetry books, but and I love poetry, but poetry is very different than a couple's communication book.
Correct.
So,
going to find in your Speaking with the Heart?
So much beautiful, like, richness. So from having a mom who didn't live in the same reality that I lived in, I grew up not thinking that other people did, which actually was very helpful. And so I didn't try to replicate my mom's reality, and I knew she couldn't really stay in mine. I more so wanted to share my experience. I didn't think she'd really understand it completely. I didn't think she'd feel the same way. I just wanted to share my experience, and I wanted her and others to share theirs with me. In having that awareness, then it takes away you're right, you're wrong. It removes all of that. And it really comes down to a core important place of being human, which is, how can I bless you? How can I serve you? How can I benefit you? How can I help you? If I'm going to be in relationship with you, what is it that I can offer to you? We flip it, and it's, well, what are you doing for me? And so I come from it from a different place. So I can choose to not offer you anything and pull myself back, and that's fine. But if I'm going to come to you, I either come to you in a place of wanting to share something with you, or I come to you with a need that I have. And recognizing those two things are very important. So then in relationship, it starts to become very clear, talk these things through. What is it that you need from me? Or how can I support you in who you are right now? How can I stand alongside with you? I go through and explain communication, which I think you really don't understand very well, because we base it on the words and not so much on the connection or the compassion or the purpose. And so I show people how to step into a conversation very differently than they do, much more intentionally than we do, much more carefully than we do. And then doing that by asking four specific questions before you start any conversation, it changes the conversation completely. And that helps things move with much more love and with much more grace and respect. And then I'll also go through in the book, and I talk about attachment styles and love languages and play and sex and family and money and anxiety and depression and, all sorts of things that you need to cover when giving and receiving, fear, when you're working with a couple.
And you work with the couples, or do you work on one-on-one? How does that work for you?
I do both. So it depends upon what people want. So about 2/5 of my practice is couple. Probably half of my practice is couple, and half of my practice is individual.
Okay. And where are you located?
I'm in Southern California, so my offices are in Garden Grove and Huntington Beach.
Okay. Wonderful. And do you do virtual also?
I do.
Okay. And that's a big thing now, right?
Me.
Yeah.
It is. And I've had people who have found me, like, on TikTok and YouTube, and they say, I want to work with you, and they're not in California, so I can't see them as a client in psychotherapy because my license is within California. But because I have been doing relationship work for such a long time, there's some very clear differences between a coach and a psychotherapist. And so I've met several people where it's been absolutely appropriate for me to coach who have lived in different parts of the country and the world. And that's thrilling. That's really fun to do.
Oh, so when you coach, what's the difference do you find in what you do as a professional coach or therapist?
Well, a therapist really means the person is in a place of extreme difficulty, either within themselves, within their family system, within their marriage, within their life. There's probably some medical challenges that are going on with, you know, anxiety and depression and anger. They might need support with medication. So it goes back to having a diagnostic code that goes along with physical challenges that are going on, and normally it's tied to a lot of either an experience they have just had, you know, like they've been hit or they've been lied to, or something from a developmental aspect from the childhood. Coaching is very different. Coaching is somebody who is not going through anything that is extremely problematic or where you truly need necessarily even a professional, but they need help in mindset and in thought process and in action plans. And so they're taking care of themselves, but they're wanting to kind of up level. And so it would be kind of like going to a physical trainer. You could do the workout on your own, but a physical trainer is going to show you very differently. So psychotherapist would be like much more so like the physical trainer, like, let me show you how to do this right. Let me make certain you don't injure yourself. Let's make certain we keep you safe. And then coaching is more for the refining.
Wow. Thank you, Heather. That really explains so much right there. I love it. So let me ask you, okay, we're in the beginning of the year. And I'm sure, and I don't know if this is how you do coaching or, and I'm going to actually say therapy, for couples. What are some of the things that you can share to enhance our relationships, whether it's our relationships with our spouses, our children, maybe our businesses? What are some of the ways that we can look internally and just look at how we interact in those areas?
Well, it's beautiful that what you say is how do we look internally, because I think it absolutely starts there. How do I feel with you? How do I experience you? What am I aware of where I either pull back or whether I push? Then there's also the place to ask the other. Like, yeah. I'm working on my relationships, and you're really important to me as my employer, and I want to make certain that I'm showing up in a way that best benefits you. Would you be really transparent with me and share with me how you see me, how you view me, where you see that maybe I'm not coming through in a way that would serve this position or this relationship more? Because our experience of us is incredibly important, but knowing how the other person perceives us is as important. Because if I don't know how you're viewing me, how you're responding to me, then it's going to be a little bit off. One of the things that I did with my kids and with my husband is every month I would say, please share with me where I've loved you really well this month. And then I'd also say, please be really honest with me where I'm blowing it.
Wow.
And I didn't get angry.
Say that again. Because that's beautiful.
Please share with me where I have really loved you well this month, because I'd want to keep doing it. And please also share with me where I'm really blowing it.
Right.
And I would get the most beautiful information back, but my family knew this. I would not get angry. I would not get defensive. I was asking. And so I needed to really receive that. But my viewpoint was, and I would say this to them, if you're honest with me, I will learn how to love you better. And that will be my gift to you. And so my family knew that. Because of that, we love each other better and better and better and better the more years we go through life, because we're continually being mindful of, this doesn't honor you. Well, I can tweak that. Or this doesn't honor you, then I will leave the room when I do this, because this is something that I need to do for me.
Right.
There's a beautiful place of not having to lose yourself with the other. Mm-hmm. And that's what my mom showed me.
Showed you?
Yeah, in the essence of, she could stay herself and in her psychosis. And I could love her even though I wasn't in her psychosis. And I could love her even though I didn't live in her psychosis. But we unfortunately use the other person to delineate who we are or describe for us who we are. And then we lose ourselves. My mom, in her inability to stay present, showed me the importance of trying to learn how to stay present and take care of yourself, because she didn't. I mean, she did it in going into a psychosis, but it wasn't very effective. So I've tried to help people learn, what is it that you need from you? What is it that you need for you? And how do you create that for yourself in a relationship? And then how do you honor the person that you're with? I'll give you an example. So one of the things my daughter loves is having her hair stroked.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this glorious mane of hair. Literally, she can have to do it for 2 hours at a time. I've been stroking her hair for 20-something years. And one day she said to me, Mom, when you stroke my hair, you give me dreadlocks. And I said, what?
Yeah, she says, after all this time,
when you do that little squishy thing, like, you give me dreadlocks. And I said, maybe? And she said, yeah. I said, why haven't you told me this years before? And she said, oh, I didn't want you to be mad, Mom. Honey, why would I be Why would I be mad?
Because, said, well, because we get offended, right? I mean, we do.
Well,
sometimes, yeah.
Stop. Yeah, but I wasn't doing it right. She said, mm-hmm. I know, but you were trying. I'm like, okay, but I was trying, but I was failing. I said,
right.
Honey, do you think I was stroking your hair because I wanted to stroke your hair right? Or do you think I was stroking your hair because I wanted to love you?
Right.
She goes, oh my gosh, Mom, cheated yourself and been stroking your hair for the last 20 years in a way that would have really loved you.
Mm-hmm.
We both kind of laughed and thought, really, this is.
Right, but that really speaks to so many things. Like maybe, you know, your husband can be rubbing your hand and you don't love that. That's not your love language, right? Where if he just rubbed your back, that's very, very sensitive of a situation. How do you say that to, you know, your partner?
Oh, I'll give you the answer. You are such a kind, gracious, beautiful man. And it means so much to me, sweetheart, that you want to give me pleasure. And I love that so much. My back really aches. Would you be willing to rub my back instead of my hand? So that would feel even better. I don't think he's going to be offended and angry. I think he's going to say, yeah, of course.
Wow. That was awesome, Heather. That's great. You're right. I mean, and sometimes we need to find those words to be able to share what, not only what we want, but probably what they want, correct?
Absolutely. And there's the place of recognizing that I'm not negating what you're offering me. That's the place where we blow it. Like, why are you stroking my hand? Don't stroke my hand. Stroke my back. We turn
right.
it into a criticism instead of a gratefulness and an appreciation,
mm-hmm.
but then a guiding to where it would mean so much more. This happens in sex. Like if
I was just
going
to say, I can see that. Yeah, talk to us about that. We have like a minute more, but I'm going to have you back.
Well, you want to be able to say, hey, it's a little lower, it's a little slower, not like, oh, I'm almost there, darn it, you know?
Right.
So if you have permission with your partner, can I really be transparent with you? Can I be honest with you? And can you know the reason I'm sharing this is because I want you to love me so well. And
right.
I've got the keys for what that is. And I'm offering this to you because I really feel you do want to love me well. And I want that, and I want to love you well back. That's that, how could I love you better? Where am I blowing it? Help me
right.
come through for you more completely. And who wouldn't want a partner who says that? Like, I'm glad I'm good, but help me be better. What
right.
more do you want?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff
so
there.
Those kind
good
of nuggets are what my book is all about. How do you approach the conversations? How do you approach your partner? How do you receive love? How do you offer love? How do you take it in deeply? And then all those little places that are problematic in relationships, you know, budget, money, and play, all anger, all those places that come up, that's what my book's all about, just to try to bless people and help them in this beautiful journey of life and relating with others.
What is the one trigger that you hear over and over and over again since your experience with working with so many couples that is the thing that pulls them apart?
Yeah, believing their partner doesn't love them anymore.
Mm.
And it's not always true. But when I think you don't love me, now I'm pulling back. And then I start to treat you differently. Now, maybe you still did love me, but you're acting in a way that I don't understand, so I'm misinterpreting it. But I start to pull back, and then you start to pull back, and you feel me pulling back, and you think, oh, you don't love me anymore. And then you pull back. So if you make the agreement with your partner, I really do want to love you always, and I really hope you will love me always as well. Can we remember that? Can we remember that? I used to say to myself when I would drive home when I was frustrated with my husband, I'm sure he's not trying to hurt you. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he was lazy. Maybe he was sloppy. Maybe he didn't listen. He really isn't trying to hurt you. He really isn't trying to not love you. And if you say that to your partner, like, I want to love you. I think I'm pretty bad at it sometimes. I really want to love you well. We all want to be loved. And if we remember that and then embrace that, and when our
right.
partner's angry or upset or sad, we realize, ooh, I am not loving you very well right now because you're not acting like you're feeling very loved, then you can offer more if you're willing. I look at, if you will, misbehavior as someone who needs more love. And what we say in our society is, stop it. Don't treat me that way. You come back and treat me the way that I should be treated, and then I will love you. And if you think about it, big picture, what a messed up message.
Wow.
You know, you go fix you, and when you're perfect, then I'll give you love. Instead, I would say, you're really angry. I can't really be around you when you're really angry. I want to be able to hear you. Could you come back when I can hear you more so? Then you're stepping in with the person. You're not punishing them or blaming them or shaming them.
That's beautiful. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. I love it. We need to get your book. I'm so excited. Of course, tell everybody where they can find it.
Yes, I am so excited too. So thank you. So Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Speaking with the Heart by Dr. Heather Brown, has an E. And then also probably the easiest way is if you go to my website, you will see the link there. It lands on January 23rd. So it will be active that time forward. And my website is www.CHEATHERBROWNE.com. And the link will, of course, be on my website as well. And my website's kind of the hub of Heather. So you'll see my newsletter, working with me, my programs that I have. I have a couple of programs and workshops, all my social media. So you can see my TikToks, my YouTubes. So anything that you have, any questions that you have, please feel free to reach out.
I love it. Again, Dr. Heather Brown, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Please share our show with everyone. Download our podcast. And I look forward to having you back again.
Oh, thank you so much. You are an absolute delight. So I'm very honored.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Some really inspirational and just some, I love it. I love that you're so passionate about with what you do and you can feel it. So I love that. All right. Have a great rest of your day.
You as well.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on.
And business. And it is my pleasure to bring Nama Shelfie on. And of course, the Jewish holidays are coming up and she has this brand new, incredible book coming out. And of course, it's all about the Jewish holiday table. And so again, I'm so excited to join you. Nami, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. And of course, this obviously can't be your first book, correct?
It is.
Oh, congratulations. I love when I meet somebody that's like they met their goal, right? And I'm sure these are like traditions and family stories that you have created and collected. And here you are to share them.
Exactly. So I started a nonprofit organization that is based in New York City, the Jewish Society, and we work to preserve and celebrate and kind of push forward Jewish culinary heritage from all around the world.
I love that. I love it. And, you know, my heart just right now goes out to Israel and you know, maybe we could take 1 second to just really send prayers out, you know, as so many people are still in, you know, hostages. And that's just like my heart breaks for their families because in a moment, life has changed for them.
It's a very, very sad moment in time. And my deepest wish is for peace, you know. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So let me ask you, first of all, I'm excited to talk about some of your recipes in there. And of course, some of your traditions. Share with us a couple of your traditions. I love family traditions. We actually, my oldest son, I've got four children, and my oldest son just had a baby. And so we are so excited. And so traditions are when we were having the shower, it was a really great question to ask, like, what are some of family traditions that we want to, you know, carry on? I lost both my parents now. And so having the high holidays, that's a tradition that I keep on so that my children can know that. What are some of yours?
I mean, this book is really a celebration of Jewish holiday traditions from families from all around the world. So, you know, it's a love letter to our diverse culinary heritage. So
I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so who is your mentors?
Sorry?
Who are your mentors? Yes.
Who are my mentors?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there are so many. I follow closely the work of Claudia Roden. I really love Adina Zussman. My good friend, Mike Solomonov. There are so many incredible, inspiring characters that I learn so much from them. And as of your question, so Passover is coming up very soon. And the chapter in our book features some of the most delicious and beautiful recipes from really extraordinary cooks. So we have a table from Rinat Sadok, who comes from a Moroccan and Yemeni tradition, and her family and her table is full of these very vegetable forward dishes, you know, spring at its best. So she has, instead of, or maybe not instead, but many people know gefilte fish as their holiday fish course. Rinat bring us this spicy Moroccan fish cakes with this very tangy sauce. It's really great. And then I really love the recipes from Mexico City born chef Fanny Gershon. I'm going to make her matzo ball soup.
My favorite. Yes, I love. And now, do you like your matzo balls hard or soft? That's a big question, right?
I know, that's a bit, I'm more of like the soft.
Me too, yes. Okay, good. All right, we're on the same page at least. So let me ask you a question. First of all, for our listeners that might not know what Passover is, could you do a better job and share that with them?
Sure. So Passover really tells the story of the Exodus. And we, you know, retold the story in a ritual meal that we call Seder. So we read the Haggadah, we read a text that tells us the story of how the Israelites, you know, came to freedom. But we also eat certain foods that help us to tell this story.
Right.
Yeah, so there are, you know, many delicious variations on the traditional staples in the book. Again, a gefilte fish from Mexico City. There is an old school version of gefilte fish from the Soviet Union. So there are just like very variation, some traditional, some modern, all extremely seasonal and delicious.
Right. And what about, do you make your own challah?
I do.
Okay.
There is a very good recipe for challah. For me in the book. So we have a chapter for Shabbat in the book, and I love to do picnics. I know it's like...
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's great. And so you bring these picnics, right? I mean, surrounding is where it just kind of romances whatever moment you're in. So I love that.
Yeah.
So that's in your book.
I lead a very busy, you know, I'm just like, I'm a mom, I work hard, I don't have like hours and hours and hours to cook, but I do love to bake challah, and it's pretty straightforward. So for Shabbat, many times I have the challah, and then I have a couple of salads, thing that you can, you know, fresh, you can really make in 30 minutes, and you have this meal. And yeah, and when it's nice outside, I just love to take a picnic blanket and the challah and a few dishes and just, you know, enjoy some family time.
I love that. Where can we find your book? And it's so appropriate for this perfect time to be bringing it out, right?
Yes. Thank you. You can find it in your favorite bookstore. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at jewishfoodsociety.org. And I hope you'll enjoy it.
Thank you. I'm sure it's going to be incredible. And this is something that not only for the holidays, but you can actually use it for the whole year, correct?
Absolutely. You can make a match. You can use it for every night. for supper. There are so many very seasonal, beautiful recipes from this book.
Let me ask you a question, Nama. Is what is your favorite part about the book that you wrote?
You know, my favorite part is, in a way, it is a history book.
Oh, okay.
It connects us to the shared story that makes Jews as people, you know, that through the medium of food.
Okay, I love it. Well, they do say the way to our heart is through food, right? So I love that. Of course, for anybody that's just waking up with us right now, starting your day in a positive way, we're talking with Nama Shelfy, her newest book, The Jewish Holiday Table. It's a world of recipes, traditions, stories, celebrate all year long. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share our show with everyone. Connect on socials so that I can share you and you can share me. And best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kim.
All right. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Of course, the brighter side of life and business. And of course, Mark Smith, you are the Program Manager of Technology Integration for Vehicle Technologies. And of course, we're interested in really just sharing a little bit about what you're talking about. And can you share with us a little bit about, well, you're from the U.S. Department of Energy, and also Isabel Bowles, is that, as a student at, is Isabel on with us too?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us. Good, and you're from Cal State Los Angeles. You're very welcome. So, Mark, can you briefly explain what the battery workforce challenge is and why this competition is so important right now?
I sure can. One of the things that we are working on in the Department of Energy is really helping to support the transition that we are making towards electric vehicles in mobility. A part of that is building up a supply chain here in the United States that can build the components and parts necessary for those vehicles. But along with that, suddenly came the need that we are going to have a workforce of about 230,000 people trained and integrated into the workforce by 2030. So the competition,
that's huge.
It is huge. It's a big need and not a lot of time to fill it. So the battery workforce challenge is one step and one way that we're helping the Department of Energy to fill that need. This is a partnership between the U.S. Department of Energy, Stellantis, and the Argonne National Laboratory. It includes right now 12 colleges who are pairing with 12 vocational schools. And their mission is really to work and design, build, implement, and test the next round of advanced batteries in a ProMaster Ram EV.
I love that. And Isabel, tell us about your team and your partnership with the school.
Yeah, we are from Cal State LA, and we are partnering with our vocational school, Cerritos College. We are a big team, actually. We are 83 people working on this project.
That's wonderful. I love it. And Mark, how will this program help develop the next generation of workers for electric vehicles?
Yeah, what's great about this program is the students in the competitions have hands-on, real-world experience. So this isn't a science project. It's working with cells, battery cells being provided by Stellantis, along with the vehicle Stellantis is providing, the EV ProMaster, as I mentioned, and technical support from Argonne National Lab and Stellantis to help the team. So it's really an opportunity for them to kind of get their hands dirty, if you will, although with an electric vehicle, they're not getting that dirty, but to really get that real world experience that is going to provide them with the training and the knowledge and expertise so that they can go into the workforce and fill some of those jobs that are going to be desperately needed.
I love that. Isabel, what does your does this competition mean to you and your teammates?
You know, it means a lot. We are a minority. We are a Hispanic-serving institution. So for us, this opportunity is huge We're working so hard to fulfill all these deliverables or these requirements, and it means that we are giving the opportunity to our students to develop that skills that they're gonna need for working in the industry in the future.
I love that. I love that. And do you both have electric cars now, or is that something that you're looking at for the future?
Don't drive one currently, but we'll probably be making a purchase one later this year. But I have owned them and driven them in the past, along with other alternative fuel vehicles.
Yeah, for me, it's something I'm planning in the future.
There you go. Mark, where can our viewers and our listeners go to really keep up with this competition?
Sure. Like everyone else, we have a great website they can go to. It's avtcseries.org. And there folks can learn more about the Battery Workforce Challenge, the teams, and keep track of their progress throughout the next few years.
I love it. I love it. And Isabel, what's one thing that you've learned from working with this whole, competition?
You know, actually, I'm the project manager, so I'm learning a lot of skills of, you know, integrating teams, like management skills, a lot. I'm learning a lot. Yeah.
I love it. Very cool. I'm interested in following you guys, and maybe we'll have you back again and see where we are in our progress. So, congratulations, and Mark and Isabel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You got it. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. Well, what a great show. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you are enjoying your weekend. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. It's okay to look back at the past. Just don't stay there. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business, and I'll see you next week.